The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, one. Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Wednesday morning, the 18th of November, 2020, at 9:05. We're here till 10 a.m. I don't think I've seen the sky look so grey, slate grey in the corner. It was looking kind of nice and pale. Then I went, ooh, the baddie's coming. But it was kind of beautiful. Slate grey is not a bad thing. So there might be a rain a-coming in the east coast of Ireland this morning. Just so you know, if you're heading out for a walk. Wasn't that the nice... Did you see the news last night, 6-1 news last night? And there was a young person, a girl called Simone Rowley. And Simone is in Temple Street Hospital. She's 11 years old. And they had Grafton Street and the guy with the in charge of the lights. And Simone's job was to press the button to light the lights for Grafton Street for Christmas 2020. And I have to say, as street light turning on goes, she was a princess among princes and princesses. It was a remarkable performance because without her, we wouldn't have had the lights and the brightness and the sparkle. So thank you, Simone, for bringing that lovely light to our lives on the news last night. It made my heart skip a beat for about 10,000 different reasons. So whoever you are, I don't know you, but I'm sending you my love and my gratitude because you brought something really special to my life last night. And I thought, great. And now if Simone's happy, I am happy. And all the staff are around her cheering her on. And I thought, well, if they're happy, I am happy. And then the lights came on. I said, well, if the lights are sparkling, I'm sparkling, God damn it. We're going to just do this. We're going to do this. We're going to Christmas the gate out of this. We're going to do it. It could sound aggressive almost, but I don't mean to. I'm a little out of sorts because I got a lovely gift today of a tin of lint. I always think of Oliver and Enda Kenny, a tin of lint. No, it's a tin of lint chocolates. Never was I so disappointed. There's about 8 of them in it. I thought, what? This thing is more expensive than any of the other ones. There's like, it's like, I should open up here. It's like, you know when a kid says, I want a surprise for Christmas. And I always say, don't do that. Santa doesn't, not into them. I always say to, be careful. I know Santa a little bit. He says, there's a fine line between a surprise and a shock. And sure enough, I opened the lint and I went, that's very underwhelming. There are 9 of them. I mean, look, the gift itself was lovely. The generosity and thought was unparalleled. But the, you know, no to lint. Get your act together for next Christmas. Christmas 2021, I want to. It's like they did a one layer. It's just a bit mean. It was a bit tight. It was something, lads, come on, you're better than that. I love lint. I buy them all the time. I like the selection of them. I'm a fan. Like, this isn't a diss, but it is definitely a don't do. It'd be like an afternoon tea tin arriving in with one layer. And you're thinking, what happened? You go, it's just a more, it's a boutique tin. It's a boutique tin. That's just a ripoff. Not the lint, the day afternoon tea with one tray. The lint's fine if you want, you know what you're getting in. You get what it says in the tin, 8 chocolates. Good luck with that. Why am I ranting about lint? I don't mind that much. I'm going to eat them. There's happiness in Ars Neutron today. Why? Well, the park is in trouble. The Phoenix Park is in trouble because there's sadness next door to the Ars in the zoo. And my friend Jerry Creighton and all his staff and friends and colleagues, and I'm talking about the animals and some of the humans, well, they're in trouble and they need your help. So if you're, this is a suggestion, if you're into the zoo and if it's given you happiness down through the years. I remember one of the great joys of my childhood was when my dad would reach into his pocket and say, will we do it? And he bought an annual membership to the zoo. And when that card came out, we thought, we're going to the zoo? All 812 of us in the back of the car with no seatbelts? Let's do it. And sure enough, the zoo was a big thing. So if you think you can help the zoo, if you want to, what would be nice would be maybe to buy an annual membership as a gift or for yourselves, if you can afford it. And then when the world is back to normal, which it will be very soon because we have the 46A vaccines, you wait for one and 3 come along. And when that happens, You can go to the zoo all the time with your card and you kind of wander through the velvet rope going, yeah, I'm a membership. I've got the membership card. So I'm with the band. I'm with the band. So that's all ahead of you. Get busy. You're going to the zoo. 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 How about you? You. How do you know that? I thought that was just a back of the car. The Swiss Family Tuberty in the 1980s. Obviously not. Anyway, back to next door to the Oris, the beautiful Oris Neutron. It featured really low. I'm sorry to keep going on about it, but that gorgeous documentary, De Gaulle and Aaron, and it featured beautifully at the end of De Gaulle's trip to Ireland. And he goes to the gardens, the gorgeous gardens of Oris Neutron with President de Valera. And as the point was made in the documentary, the two men looked, they were about 6 foot four, 6 foot five. They kind of looked like they could have been cousins. They had similar sallow kind of skin and features and broad and Dev would have been quite blind at that point, hanging on to De Gaulle's arm. And both freedom fighters and men who had served their country. And the gardens just looked so beautiful. And the Oris is going to... They're obviously, Brode, the poor dog, died. And that's not good. But they are going to get a new addition from the animal kingdom, from my favourite part of the world, which is Connemara, obviously, from one of the most beautiful places you could ever visit, which is Kylemore Abbey. And the good people at Kylemore Abbey, and I'm talking about Conor Coyne, who's the executive director, are giving the president a beautiful Connemara pony, which I think is a gorgeous touch, especially, you know, if he's pointing out to visitors, now, President Biden, see that over there? That's a Connemara pony from the west of Ireland, a beautiful horse, part of our country's equine heritage and history. And it's a nice thing to do. So well done to them and good luck to the pony. No names as yet, but that no doubt will be the cause of some conversation. So we'll have a look at that and watch it. And I'm struck also by presidential gardens, because this morning I read the preface to Barack Obama's book, his new book, which is a tome at about 700 pages. And in the middle, oh, sorry, Sheehan died, not Brode. Brode is alive and well. Thank you for correcting me. That's a fair point. Sorry about that. Rumours, etc. So the book, back to Obama's book, and I picked it up this morning before I came in, and I said, I'm just going to read the preface just to see the style of it and do I like where he's going with it, because his first two books before he was president were good, a little dense, but they were fine. But this one actually caught my interest straight away, to the point that I thought, okay, he's writing in a very accessible style. He's a beautiful writer, so it's very easy to read, but very lovely to read. And he's observing walking by the colonnade of pillars. You know that famous, you see them, the presidents walking by there, and how he'd stop sometimes and look to his left into the rose garden, and he'd chat to some of the gardeners and talk about the roses, just to have a minute. He's got the world in his head, and he just needed a minute to say, so how are the roses doing after the storm last night? And the gardener would say, oh, let's pick a rag out of his pocket and mop his brow and say, oh, it's pretty bad, but we're going to do our best for you, Mr. President. And okay, thanks. And then he was back in. National Security Council meeting. Let's talk about Afghanistan. But just a lovely moment. So I thought, this is nice. I'm getting a nice sense of observation about the White House and maybe politics. But then I did get a bit of a fright because I thought 700 pages. And then he said, and this was meant to start off as one book, but it's just going to be volume one of 2001. So he's going to go again. He's a lot to say. So if you're going to get that book, be sure to carve out some time for yourself. But I have a good feeling about it. So I'll come back to you when I have the time and the headspace, which I don't have at the moment, to read such a book. But I think I will, which will be pretty good. Emer is in Canmare. She says, are you sure, Ryan, someone didn't take the first layer of chocolates out on you? Looking forward to the tin, but feel, as you did mention before, they're pricey. They're €15. So that's what you're dealing with. They're a higher end of chocolate and they're delicious. So it's a treat. That's what it is. But it just, as I say, I kind of found myself like a child reaching in for the second layer, but there wasn't one. I just hit the bottom of the tin going, that's it. It's like a shallow end. No deep end here. You're right about the chocolates. It's not fair. My favourite chocolate too. I won't be buying any. There's too much. It's too much for so little. Yeah, they need to. Dear Mr. or is it Frau Herlint? You need to sort that out. Yours sincerely, Ireland. Okay, I'll send that off after the show. Get a stamp from the shop, of course, because the post office closed. It would be great if everyone could donate the amount that they would have spent on a day out at the zoo if they could afford it, and that would go a long way to helping the animals. Good. Morris is in Navan. They must name the pony Horace on Uthron. Oh, come on. I don't think I'm going to even give you a badum tish for that, Morris. Morris and Uthron. Oh, we're all out today. Okay.
The Ryan Tuberty Show.
I'm just about to leave, but I thought maybe not. We'll just keep going. What else have I got for you today? The guy who wrote, I'm a big Elvis fan, and the guy who wrote In the Ghetto died. His name was Mac Davis. The musos will know this. I've never heard of him, but I was reading his obituary this morning. He wrote In the Ghetto and A Little Less Conversation, which is pretty damn impressive. He also wrote Hard to Be Humble, which will be big hit for a lot of you country fans will appreciate that. And also one of the saddest ever Elvis songs, Don't Cry Daddy. Now, you don't need to be a fan to get that, but that's a sad, sad song. So he was just one of those songwriters, sang a bit himself, ended up doing a bit of acting, including in things like The Dukes of Hazzard and Murder, She Wrote. He was one of those guys. Imagine these lives. You'd be watching The Dukes of Hazzard or something. And little did you know that as one guy, probably in it for about 3.5 seconds, also wrote In the Ghetto, one of the most beautiful songs. And actually they say was important in terms of civil rights for somebody like Elvis to sing a song like that at the time. And a song he wrote for the 68 comeback called Memories, which Elvis then became a big fan of and kept going. So in all and in any ways, that is Mac Davis. Bed of heaven to him, as we say. And that is, he gave us some beautiful music. I might play some later on in the week. I just wanted to say, says the text, that you made me laugh out loud this morning. Did I? Sure, when he just arrived. While I was driving, explaining your shock over the Lindt chocolates, something that doesn't often happen as often these days. It's weird. So thanks for putting a smile on my face this Wednesday morning from Jill, who's listening from the not-so-sunny southeast. Yeah, the clouds are dark upon the country this morning. So together we shall hold hands and get to 10 o'clock and then see what the day brings. Well, I mentioned all the books I got. I just keep getting sent stuff. My desk is now just a receptacle of stuff. I have so much stuff. I got lovely masks from Chester Beatty. And you think, Chester Beatty? Is he still? No, he's not with it. But the people at Chester Beatty sent me, but the letter also included saying, by the way, we're Chester Beatty now, not Chester Beatty Library. I said, oh. So you just say, I went to Chester Beatty or the Chester Beatty? Or the Chester Beatty is not the library anymore. I went to, anyway, Chester Beatty, that's not a library, sent in face masks of these oriental designs on their face. And they are beautiful. Absolutely. They're little takes and little bits of the detail is the word I'm trying to think of, from works of art from Chester Beatty. And you can wear them on your face as very, very funky face masks. Go online if you want. So thank you to Dervil O'Carroll, who sent those in. They really are very beautiful. And they come in all adult sizes and children's sizes and all that. So gift shop at cbl.ie if you want to get those. Thank you to, do you know what's really beautiful? This is a very nice piece. Fans of The Walls will really enjoy this. And The Stunning, I should say, because that's where they began. But anyway, the Wall brothers, they're brilliant. And they're very lovely people in real life. You know those people you kind of go, so they step away from the microphone and they don't just suddenly go, right, where's my coffee? Right, I've had enough now. They actually come out going, well, I really enjoy that. But I don't know why they talk like Tony Blair, just because they're nice. But they go, I really enjoy that record recording, so thanks. Tough on music, tough on the causes of music. That's what it's all about. So anyway, obviously Steve Wall doesn't sound like that, but he came out and has produced this beautiful book. It's the stunning, essentially, songbook. So it's the music from that they have made down through the years with big hits, obviously, but also photographs and notes and everything that goes with it. And it's a gorgeous presentation. Paradise, the songbook in Paradise in the Picture House, the songbook from The Stunning is what it's called. If you like that, you will love that. Learn how to play the piano and the guitars and all that kind of thing. And then the Mayo fans, We Are Mayo by Tom Brett and Sean Rice. That is just essentially a coffee table book with a great cover, which is the Mayo jersey from, gosh, it looks like probably the 70s. And then just a history, a very accessible history of Mayo from from Tom and Sean. That was a lovely presentation. I like that too. And a couple of quick ones then. The Greedy Crocodile by Rachel Murphy and Anastasia Curtulus. That is a kid's book that is very, very pretty and nice. And I also like this because it features the history, legends, archaeology and folklore of Cleggan, Claddaduff, Inish, Boffin, Omi and surrounding areas, which is probably in and around pretty much where I would like to go and live for the rest of my life when I retire. And that's written by Mary Feeney. Well done, Mary Feeney. It's called From Our Ancient Land to Bountiful Sea. I'll keep that for 20 when I'm looking forward to heading for the hills. Not today or tomorrow, mind you. Now, Lego. How do we feel about Lego? Are we Lego fans? We like Lego. The biggest ever set of Lego was 7,500 pieces. That'll cover you for COVID lockdown 3 in January, won't it? And that's the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. That's been replaced. They have now decided that we need a bigger, we're going to need a bigger piece. So what have they done? They have released the largest set ever, which is a replica of the Colosseum in ancient Rome. Have you ever been to the Colosseum in ancient Rome? If you haven't, hopefully you'll go there, because it is, if you haven't, just watch Gladiator with Russell Crowe. That really brings it alive beautifully. And when you do go there, you close your eyes and you feel the heat and you imagine the roar and the blood and the sand and the heat and the emperor and the mob and the vulgar throng and Gladiator. It's remarkable. Anyway, back to the Lego. They've done this Lego piece of the Colosseum in Rome. How many pieces are in it? I'm not going to make a guess because that's very boring. That's like beginning a story by saying this is really funny. It never works out. What it is it's 9,036 pieces. Imagine that if you're an annoying child. There, happy Christmas. See you at Easter. Yeah, it's been a long time since I heard that, and you're dancing around The Office to Billy Idol. Good on you. That's Money Money, and we play that for Anne-Marie and all the Gertles who enjoyed it. I'm dancing in my bedroom half-dressed and I'm 68, says Mary. Do you know, Mary, it's the detail. It's the detail of half-dressed, I mean, in your bedroom, like the age, everything. Everything bar the, you know, the curtains, what colour they are, the carpet. Is it snagged? You know, is it there? Is it wood? Could be wood floor. I'm dancing. I'm leaping around the kitchen too now. Okay, Hillary. Okay, get, you're enjoying this. Aoife's having a bop around the kitchen while sweeping the floor. You can dance with the brush, you know, as your partner. I love Billy Idol. He was my first concert in fifth year in secondary school. Still have my ticket and my posters on my folder, in my school folder from probably Blue Jeans or Jackie. So thank you. I absolutely love him. And the Jackie had photograph stories all to do with love. By the way, I just turned up Billy Idol. Good. Well, I love when music has that effect on y'all. I was listening to Fiacnó No Brennan. I find myself listening to him more and more because when the show finishes on a Friday night, I get home and I'm having a little settle and I turn on the radio and I listen to him playing beautiful music and I Shazam. He played The West's Awake. It was and I had to Shazam it because I didn't know whose beautiful voices were coming from the radio. It was Lumiere. Is that the Lumieres? The Lumieres, not Be Our Guest, The West's Awake. Different version. It was the Lumieres, Irish singers, and we've had them on The Late Late, and they're just splendid voices. But it was so haunting and gorgeous. And that was nice. Fiacnó plays beautiful tunes. And I see that the most Shazam, if you don't know what Shazam is, by the way, it's if you hear a song, you have an app, and you put the app to the speaker and it says what the song is. I use it regularly on Lyric FM. I hear something sublime and I go, what was that? And I save it. And I say, someday I'm going to put them all together. Do you know how many times I've put them all together? Never. That's how many times. But it's a plan. Meanwhile, the most Shazam song of all time is Dance Monkey. Dance Monkey, Dance Monkey, Dance Monkey, One More Time. Is the most Shazam song of all time. Which is 36.6 million times. Dazzle your friends at your lunch break in your kitchen today. And by your friends, I mean whoever happens to be there in a given day. The St. Vincent de Paul annual appeal is launched today. It is one of the most difficult in the society's 176-year history. I want to wish them well. I was involved a little bit, very little bit, but it's Rose McGowan, who's the SVP national president, said that between January and November, almost 112,000 requests, that's a lot of requests, for help had already been received. So we'll talk about that between now and Christmas. SVP.ie, they're being supported by Brown Thomas and Arnott's. Well done to them. They're going to have, including their Arnott's Christmas window Christmas card on sale online in the store. Smurfit Kappa supported the empty toy box appeal, and Me To You gift cards have teamed up for their virtual toy appeal, which is just wonderful. So SVP.ie, get busy. We appreciate it. Ten. Niamh says, am I right in thinking last year you were treating yourself to a Lindt advent calendar, and when you took one out, the whole stand of calendars fell on top of you, mortifying you, or did I completely make that up? I had blocked that out, but you're right. It was. I remember it well. It was in the shop, and I said, I think I'll just discreetly take one out. And it, whatever way it was like confectional Jenga, and I picked the wrong piece. And about three or four boxes started falling down. I said, OK, I actually started to try and put them back. And then a crowd gathered. Oh, there's your man. Look at him trying to cope with real life. This is fun. And it was a bit like the zoo. And they gathered. And then as I tried to put them back and I was becoming increasingly addled, and not a little red, about eight more boxes chose to collapse from a completely different end of the pile entirely. I mean, I needed my GPS to get to that. It was that far away. And then the whole thing tumbled down to my feet, and I really didn't know where to look. I was kind of nearly pointing, looking around, going, how does this get back up into the pile? How does this not happen? Do you ever do that? Denise, maybe that's why I'm giving out about the poor old Lindt, because I'm scarred and I feel hurt. Denise, you made me laugh out laughing. As I made the beds when you talked about the 46A vaccines. Yeah, I know, but it's just, I couldn't believe it. One minute we had none, then we had two, then what? The second one that came along, you had Pfizer going, yay, we're the best in the world. 24 hours later, the other guy goes, yeah, we're just a little bit better than yours. You don't need to be so cold. Ours don't need to be so frozen as yours. What? Oh, God. And it reminded me of that quote Bing Crosby said about Frank Sinatra. And he said, a voice like Sinatra's only comes along once in a lifetime. Why did it have to be my lifetime? Tough. That's what happens, kid. You got to roll with it. Amazing woman called Lorraine Costello. She's been doing work for many, many years with the Irish Kidney Association. I worked, soldiered with her very, very briefly in a small way for a while. But she's just been, as anyone who's worked with kidney donation and that world, the IKA, will know what terrific work she has done. And she's sadly retired. She's going to be a massive loss, but she's been brilliant. And the reason I mentioned this, but she very kindly sent me, the IKA remembrance and Thanksgiving booklet. And the reason, again, I mentioned that is because I was setting the fire on Sunday, and I turn on the TV to see the news at one or whatever it might have been. And the next thing, a mass service came on. And just before, I was kind of going, I haven't attended a mass service on TV. But I recognised a guy I know a little bit. I don't want to say that I don't. I know him very well, but a very, very nice face. Always lovely to meet about the place, called Alan Finnegan. And he was giving a service. He was talking about a relative of his who had donated his organs and how important it was for his family. And I didn't know this story. It's amazing, isn't it? You pass people by and you don't know what they're going through and whatever. But he spoke so eloquently and with such dignity. And the camera then went back to the church that he was addressing. Just two people. Amazing. I know this is what's happening nowadays and we've heard about this, but I was really struck by how stark it was. But it was also very beautiful because you heard him, Alan, talking about Paul and the beautiful act of organ donation and how important it was to his family because they got a letter from somebody who had the organs donated to them. And the impact, I can imagine the impact that would have when you hear, okay, maybe there's some greater purpose in the world, whether you believe or not in anything or anyone, maybe there's a point to everything. And it was just a lovely moment. But I wanted to say good morning to Lorraine and to everyone who works at the IKA, and indeed to Alan and the Finnegans. And I just thought it was a really lovely little moment kind of kindness, a lovely little beacon of kindness, as they say, in a world gone mad. 51551 is the text number. I want to talk to somebody and introduce them to you, and I'll do that after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Wow. Pads in Castlebaney says, amazing how a full circle Billy Idol has come from Blue Jeans magazine to headliner at Hellfest Festival in France a few years ago. It was amazing to see young metal and punk kids going crazy to a band from the 80s in 2000s. Just goes to show great music has no expiration date. Well said, Pads. If you want a haunting version, says Sarah, of The West's Awake, check out the Irish Tenors. It was sung in the same style at my father's funeral over 10 years ago, and it haunts me when I hear it. Yeah, it's a very moving piece of music. I must say I'm a fan. And as an avid Star Trek, the original series fan since the late 60s, says Jenny, I had a gigantic life-size poster of Mr. Spock holding a model of the Enterprise on my main bedroom wall, which I kissed every morning and every night. I kind of love you, Jenny. I love that you admit that and that you listen to us. I feel honoured and humbled. When the blue tack lost its grip and a corner began to curl, I would steal bits of blue tack from the smaller but quite plentiful David Essex posters on the other walls. After many years, I had to reluctantly remove my favourite Vulcan, as he had faded so much from the sun. Well, he wouldn't have liked that, would he? Happy memories, though, and I still watch the reruns on the Horror Channel every weekday. Every weekday. That's great. The Truffle Fairy in Kilkenny, says Mia, the best chocolates ever, and they're even gluten-free and vegan. A real treat. Okay, thank you for that from Mia in Kilcash. Right then. Thank you, by the way, Tom, my old friend in Rosslare. Says that Don't Cry Daddy must be the saddest song I've ever heard, but beautifully crafted. Hear, 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 hear. Got a message from Jenny. And Jenny's mum, Margaret, and herself would have talked about the show that we do every morning at 10 o'clock or later that evening, saying, what did he say tonight? What did you think about that? And did he go on? And they'd chat about everything. And Margaret O'Leary, she was born in Finglas, or born in Drumcondra, I should say, but people in Finglas would know who she is. Selfless woman. He loved her politics, history, worked for the Irish Council for Social Housing. And by all accounts, a beautiful woman. And she passed away in the last 48 hours. And Jenny said, look, if you could play a song for her, because she really enjoyed your show. And I think about Margaret this morning and Jenny and her family. But I also think about all those people who maybe watch the TV on Friday and they're not there. We were part of their lives. You were part of ours as a listener, as a viewer. And who maybe not with us at this moment. But particularly for Margaret, she said a little Queen song would be nice, and that's something we can do for you. May she rest in peace. Sometimes I was towards the end of the career for Freddie Mercury and Queen, but a nice tune from them this morning, nice reflective piece of music from Queen. We have a break to take before we say goodbye. The idea of doing something nice for somebody as well is summed up in the Woody's ad, actually, where the little old lady, you've seen it, the little old lady's walking along with the creaky gate. I'll say no more. You can watch it and decide whether or not you like it yourself. Thank you for all the texts that came in this morning on everything from posters to chocolates to the disappointment of chocolate, but also to the other guests and things we're talking about today. We'll have more for you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.